Hawaii's reef fish are being overfished. That's the conclusion of the largest study of its kind ever undertaken. It included information compiled by researchers and multiple government agencies going back to the year 2000, and it made use of more than 25,000 in-water surveys. Alan Friedlander is the lead author of the study. He's a chief scientist for National Geographic's Pristine Seas Project and director of the Fisheries Ecology Research Lab at the University of Hawaii. He spoke with HPR News Director Bill Dorman in October when the study was published.
What do you think is the most important finding out of this study?
Thanks for having me, Bill. Yeah, I think over the course of the study, what we found is there is a good news and bad news story. There are places within the main Hawaiian Islands, particularly around the populated areas, that have suffered significantly from overfishing, as well as other things like pollution and coastal development, primarily around Oahu and parts of Maui. But there's also places around the state that look amazing, remote areas like Niihau, Ko'olawe, North Shore Molokai, Hamakua Coast. So these areas look more like the northwestern Hawaiian Islands than they do the main Hawaiian Islands. So I think there's hope for a lot of the reefs in the middle there, so we can learn lessons from what has worked elsewhere and what hasn't worked.
Speaking of learning lessons, you compared fish density across the islands by moku, which is a traditional Hawaiian resource management tool. Can you explain that a bit more?
Sure. So aupua, or watersheds, were nested within moku, and moku represent basic biophysical properties, windward areas, leeward, north shore, south shore. So they made a lot of sense from a biological standpoint, and the Hawaiians recognized that. And they managed things holistically from Maui to Makai, and everything was integrated. And so when we put this whole study together, we thought that the best thing to do would be to learn from the past. And so we recognized that they managed at a more of a decentralized level, more at the moku level or even the aupua'a level. Hmm. So we tried to have the biology reflect that.
So in terms of where we go from here, are there further lessons in terms of traditional Hawaiian cultural practices that could come into play here and management of fisheries?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can learn a lot from the past. The Hawaiians manage their resources quite effectively with fairly large populations in the past. I think pono practices, things like taking only what you need. But most important was probably recognizing spawning cycles. The Hawaiian moon calendar was used to most effectively manage when to fish, but more importantly, when not to fish. It's kind of the opposite of what we think about today as far as recognizing fishing practices. You know, we want to know when they knew when to lay off of fish, when they were spawning, when they were most susceptible. If you give fish a chance to spawn, they get to be big enough to spawn during the right times of year, you're going to have fish in the future.
Now, in order to sort of carry that forward, you're going to need buy-in from a lot of folks. Do you see that coming? I'm thinking of the commercial fishery side of life.
It's a complicated issue in the nearshore fisheries. Actually, the commercial fisheries only represent about 10% of the nearshore catch. It's primarily recreational users, cultural subsistence users. Everyone is part of the problem, so therefore everyone needs to be part of the solution.
And you had said that the study itself is really a first step to get the discussion going. So what kind of form does that discussion take, and who's involved in it?
There's already really good efforts afoot throughout the state at the community level. There's communities like in Haena on the north shore of Kauai that was the first legally designated community-based fisheries management area in the state. So applaud their efforts and the state's efforts for allowing that to move forward. There's other communities on Molokai, Momomi, on Hawaii Island. Kapolehu just has established a 10-year tri-wait period where they're going to, you know, let the area replenish itself and areas in Mo'olii. So there's communities out there that are trying to reestablish control over the area and try to decentralize it. And that's one great step in that direction. But it's going to be multiple steps. More conventional marine life conservation districts need to be established. The last one established was in 2003, so it's been a while. But people are just going to have to think about their overall footprint and how we can minimize that so that there's fish for the future.
You know, one of the interesting things about the study was you produced a very visual map showing fish density around the islands, and it seemed to track population. You know, the greater the human population, the less dense the fish population, which on a basic level seems to make sense. But what, again, in terms of moving ahead and taking action with this study, where does that lead you to?
So, yeah, there's a very clear correlation, more people, less fish, and vice versa. So we need to recognize where there's a lot of people, we need to have fairly concerted efforts and maybe, you know, think about pretty robust ways that we can manage these resources. In places where the human population density is still modest, those are the places that we should focus energies because those reefs are healthy. Those reefs are still providing access to people. They're providing all the services that people want, you know, food, culture. It's all about, you know, lifestyle. So there's ways to do that, but it's on that continuum that we need to think about where we can most effectively manage. Not one size fits all. It's going to be a different solution for different problems. The state's complex. It took us a long time to get to where we are today, so there's not going to be one solution to this. It's going to be a multitude of solutions.
You know, the logistics also, again, it's very impressive just in terms of the study itself. Again, it's in a peer-reviewed journal, but it goes back, your information goes back nearly two decades, and tens of thousands of surveys in the water. How were you able to gather all this, and from various sources?
Yeah, so I myself spent a lot of time in the water and have been fortunate to see almost every reef from South Point up to Kure Atoll and everywhere in between. But this was a collective effort between Nature Conservancy, the State of Hawaii, Division of Aquatic Resources, NOAA, Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology. And so we all got together and realized this bounty of data that we had. It's unprecedented at a global scale. For one particular location, there's never been this much data that existed. And then putting it all together was a job for one of my grad students who spent over a year, Mary Donovan, working on this. And, you know, to calibrate all this because there's different methods that were used, different locations. So she really spent a lot of time calibrating all this. And it's really the most robust data that exists for any single location. So we're very confident in our findings.
Are there any other areas, just because the whole idea of reef health is so critical for Hawaii, are there other areas that this research can be applied to, or is this pretty much just the reef fishing at this point?
I think this can be applied across the board. I mean, it's lowering our footprint, whether it's using sustainable fishing practices or thinking about the footprints that we leave in along the coastal zone, but even in the upland area, I think is applicable to places outside of Hawaii. And again, you know, in Hawaii, each island has different needs and wants and community composition. But at the end of the day, 99% of the state of Hawaii is water. And so we all rely on a healthy ocean. At the World Conservation Congress last year, Governor Ige announced this 30 by 30 initiative to sustainably protect 30% of Hawaii's resources by 2030. And that was an announcement made on the world stage, very bold announcement. I think now is a time and a call to action to do something. We know what some of the problems are, and we need to move ahead with the solutions now.
And Alan, I get a feeling that we're going to be talking to you again as we move ahead with this.
I look forward to it. It's going to take a lot of people to, you know, work our way. But at the end of the day, a healthy ocean is going to be the best thing for all of us.
That was Alan Friedlander, chief scientist for National Geographic Pristine Seas Project and director of the Fisheries Ecology Research Lab at the University of Hawaii. He spoke to HBR's news director, Bill Dorman, in October about his longitudinal study of fish density around the Hawaiian Islands. You can find a link to that study on today's edition of the Conversation podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org.